California wine country. Our guest today is Ragini Naidu. Naidu Wines, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's good to be back.
Oh, and you've been in already?
But I didn't get to do the interview with you last time. But
I wasn't
yes,
in.
Yes, yes. There you go. So we haven't
My
met.
Throat was probably out. I had to stay home. Okay, then welcome back.
Thank you.
I was going to say, Dan, that not only am I losing my throat, I'm losing my brain. If she'd been in before and I didn't realize it, but okay, I wasn't here.
Sorry to throw you off.
So yeah, tell us the story.
Yes, so mine is a story that I think is interesting. It's different, and it's not something that you come along very often. But it all started for me back home in India. I'm from there, born and brought up there. And I grew up in a very in a home where food was very, very important. My mother was always in the pursuit of, creating or recreating global cuisine as she traveled overseas and brought back not just recipe books, but actual seeds that she then, grew in our kitchen garden.
Beautiful.
But long story short, I think I was just so immersed in that growing up. And I was also so immersed in the pursuit of high quality throughout my childhood and how my parents conducted themselves. And I think that left a...
You know, you're really on the wrong radio show if you're into high quality. But I'll just, go ahead. Keep going.
But the pursuit, it was just the pursuit of, high quality in whatever we put our minds to do. I think that was really the big takeaway. Mm-hmm. And after I finished my schooling, I moved to Melbourne, Australia to do my undergraduate degree there in Melbourne.
Why Melbourne? I mean, that's kind of that's quite a travel from India to Australia.
I actually have a lot of family there. I have a lot of connection there.
Oh, cool.
My father was doing some business there. My brother was already doing his degree in hospitality there.
Wow.
My dad was like, either you're going to have to study in our little town in India, or you can go overseas. There was no Delhi or Mumbai for me because, it was different for a young woman to be staying by themselves, and he felt it was just safer. And, the kind of education that I wanted to do a bachelor's degree in marketing. And so I went off to Melbourne, and there I was, further exposed to a lot of different cuisines and also met my wonderful husband, Kaushik Naidu, there, and therefore Naidu Wines. Naidu is our family name.
Your husband hails from India met him in Australia.
I met him in Australia through my American friends. We probably would have never met in India because we're from two very different parts of India. We don't speak the same Indian language and all of that stuff. So, but anyway, we moved to the United States in 2006. So we got married, moved here, and we found ourselves in the Bay Area. And here, further, I was able to, be immersed in all the food and wine culture, and that was something that I was always really attracted to. Fast forward 2018, after many, many such experiences, I found myself on a trip with my family that was complete. I'd had my two kids by then, and we were in Provence, and I feel like I just had some sort of an epiphany there where I was like, this brings us so much joy.
And wow, you've really traveled all over.
I have traveled.
And Ragini, I was in Katadi once. That's my only claim to fame.
Come on by to Naidu Wines. We're neighbors then.
Come
on over there.
Yeah.
But traveling, I think, just the world view was very large and big, and possibilities were also very big. And but what happened then is I came back with this notion of, this is something that brings me so much joy in my life, and I want to really, truly bring this into my life as not just something I do, on a trip or on vacation or on the weekend.
That is so cool.
I want to bring this with some intentionality into my life. And at that point, it was just a thought of, okay, maybe 10 years from now, let's see what it takes. But soon after I came back, I started searching, and I call it serendipitous. I had this experience where I came across this beautiful vineyard and beautiful terroir, and I decided to make it mine. It was just too beautiful not to bring into my life, and it was really what I was in my dreams searching for. So ever since then, ever since I purchased the vineyard, I have dedicated my life to sort of showcasing the wonderful aspects of that vineyard, whether it is the fruit that we're growing at the vineyard and we're making wine from it, to whether people are coming and staying at the winery, and to offering, now we offer tasting experiences there as well. So it was a gift that I received, I believe, in life. It's not very often that happens. And I just have taken that with a huge sense of responsibility, and I want to do justice to it. And and here I am.
That's very impressive. Dan, how did you know about Naidu Wines? And give me the history with you.
My understanding is that this property was in the Sonoma Coast. The area is really right up adjacent to southern part of Russian River Valley. So it's a very cool region. Those are the kinds of wines that I love, because of good acidity in the wines. They go great with food. There's a lot of Chardonnay being made in the United States today that doesn't have this kind of acidity, and that's one of the reasons I like this Chardonnay. But there's also two other red wines that we have this evening, and it's fabulous.
This Chard is kicking my butt.
Well, and
this is lovely.
You should taste it with some food too when you get it home.
I'd rather just have some more in my glass, and
then
we'll get the food later. Thank you. What year is this?
22.
Yeah.
Brandon. This is a very
It's young, but it's drinkable right this moment.
Oh, absolutely. Tastes terrific. I think the secret to the wine, again, like I said a moment ago, is that good acidity is the secret weapon to all these good wines. Mm-hmm. And I think this wine coming from the Sonoma Coast area, that's really right up against Russian River Valley. So it's cool enough. In fact, it's very cool.
Yeah.
And the wine has lower alcohol typically. These wines will have lower alcohol as long as you harvest them early enough, and this is perfectly harvested. Nicely structured. It's got that little lemon oil character, and it's got a little trace of...
A lot of lemon I'm tasting.
Yeah, a lot of lemon. And then on top of it, there's a little trace of pineapple in it.
Okay.
A trace. I like it. I think
Ragini, this is wonderful. Yeah.
Thank you very much. And this is our very first vintage of Chardonnay.
Really?
So when I, obviously when I bought the vineyard, we had Pinot Noir planted at the vineyard. And I knew we were going to do an estate Pinot
It's a Sonoma County law. You have to make Pinot.
You have to make Pinot from your own vineyard, right?
Yeah.
And but then I also wanted to explore other varietals, and I've taken, and I wanted to keep it fun and exciting. We still do our Pinots, but it's what we offer there is an immersive experience, and it's something that we want people to keep coming back to, and we want them to come over many, many years. And so it's important to, I feel like, bring some excitement there. So we play with different varietals year over year. We've done Viogniers, Grenache Blanc. This is our first vintage of Chardonnay, and we'll be tasting through Cab Franc as well in a bit.
I had tasted them somewhere, probably at a tasting of some sort. And I like the fact that the wines had the structure and the balance. To me, that was the secret to the wines. But I didn't know anything about the project until, and then we got connected up somehow, and then you ended up on the show, which is a good thing, because I always love these kinds of wines, especially stories that are novel. People who come from different walks of life have different unusual.
And this is a novel story.
Oh, it's
and
definitely
I love
different.
That.
I mean, you're not going to see the average. I mean, people don't come from other countries typically and suddenly find themselves in the wine business. This is not an easy business to get into. You have to have
Thank
a
you for saying that.
That's the understatement of the Friday.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is just an understatement.
The old story, you want to make a small fortune in this business, start with a big one.
Yeah, yes. Exactly.
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of hard work and... but I think if you have that, like you mentioned, dedication and passion, and that's what really keeps you going.
Sure.
It's really not about It's about really bringing something special out to people that you've put your blood, sweat, tears, and heart into, and then seeing it be received so well. That's what it's
that's
about.
That's beautiful.
And at least that's what it's about for me.
And who, your husband and yourself, and who else from the family is involved in the winery?
So actually, I started the business myself.
Okay.
So it was fully run by me.
Wow.
And it's still, I'm the CEO. And my husband actually joined me this year. So I'm glad to have Mr. Naidu finally on the team.
Yeah, well, that's ironic.
And
he has he has the same name as she does.
Just a coincidence.
I'm sorry.
And so we are, you know, expanding our team. Our winemaker is Matt Duffy. I'm so happy to be working with him.
Yeah.
You know, and I met him through the vineyard. And again,
okay. No, he's amazing.
He is. And again, very serendipitously, I met him through the vineyard. And we just share such a similar perception of what quality and what quality winemaking looks like. And I think that's really hard to come by when you have such a meeting of the minds throughout your team.
Yeah.
So I feel very lucky to have a great team. And
One of the greatest sayings I ever heard, and I don't know who said it, so I can't credit the other whoever said this.
It wasn't me.
Well, it wasn't me either.
If it was smart and funny, it wasn't me.
Oh, it's okay.
You know, I'm the media personality of the year, but I never said I was smart or funny.
Not the quote person.
No.
No, the quote. The quote
I'm
is.
I'm sorry,
the,
man.
The best.
I'm so worried about my throat that I'm just babbling now. So you just keep going.
I'm going.
Yeah.
No, I'm staying, but I'm going. I must be going, as they say.
Groucho Marx. Yes. Hello, I must be going.
Right. So the line that I love so much is that the best fertilizer for any vineyard are the footprints of the wine grower.
Mm-hmm.
And when you get somebody like Mr. Duffy mm-hmm. placing his feet in those vineyards and knowing those vines and knowing the ups and downs of the soils.
That guy is a star.
It's important. I mean, getting involved in the grape growing is really getting yourself in making wine.
Yeah.
Whether you're pulling the strings inside the winery or not, once the wine is in the house, half the work is already done. So if the grower is not on the same page with the winemaker and vice versa, then you have a possible conflict. When it's the same individual, there's no conflict.
And that's what's great because, you know, the thing that ties this whole thing from start to finish is me. I, you know, oversee every aspect from wine growing to other vineyard relationships that I cultivate. And
that is,
you know,
so important,
and, you know,
in this area.
Exactly.
I mean, you know.
And having long-term relationships.
Exactly.
Sort of coming up with a vision for the wines that we're going to be doing, how we're going to execute them. Of course, with Matt's, expertise and technical expertise. But then, you know, to put the packaging, the marketing, all of that is all overseen by me. And it takes quite a few industries to bring that one bottle of wine to people. So,
no, Miri, you're totally right. Yeah.
You know, and the vineyard was planted in 2001, and I bought it from a gentleman named John Suachi, who unfortunately passed away just less than a month ago. But, you know, he kind of started it all, and I'm just here kind of trying to take what he did forward in some sense of the way. We saw the world very differently, but, you know, there was this understanding of, but, you know, we're caring for the same
right.
land.
Yeah.
And so we have the same team that planted the vineyard, taking care of the you know, overseeing the vineyard right now. So it's really good to have that continuity and the connection with the past to the future.
Were these grape varieties, was the Pinot Noir already in that vineyard when you bought it?
Yes.
So these are older vines.
So these are, yeah, they were planted in 2001. We have two different clones on property, 115 on the hill block and 777 on the apartment block, as we call it. And that's what makes up our beautiful estate Pinot Noir that put us on the map, because this was the wine that got us. I say this with not in a boastful way, but it was really a pivotal moment for the brand, because the very first restaurant we got our wine into happened to be a 3-Michelin-star restaurant in the area. And, you know, again, that does not happen often. And it was a pivotal moment of validation for me that I really had something special here. And so I'm just putting my best foot forward year after year and bringing out some
Pinot.
Awesome wines.
Okay, I'll try some Pinot. I think it's part of my job as the whatever my award is. Best Media Personality. Yes, that's it's only because of Dan Berger and wine, the wine show that I got that.
Yeah, I helped you along your pathway to perdition.
Well, I will say you didn't hurt me that much.
Oh, thank you.
You've been okay.
The sideways compliment.
It is California Wine Country, the award-winning show here in California. Our guest today is Ragini Naidu from Naidu Wines. And you guys, the winery is in Sebastopol.
Yes. So we are about 10 minutes southwest of downtown Sebastopol.
Okay.
We're on Blucher Valley Road and, you know, surrounded by lots of other vineyards there. I would say it's the vineyard route is where we're at, but we also do tastings there. So we recently opened up a tasting experience.
Because that's where I was segueing to. Okay. So talk about the tasting, because people are going to want to check this out and visit
yes,
it.
Yes, and they absolutely should, because what we have going is a really, you know, rustic but connected experience with the terroir. It's also very private. We do tastings by appointments. People can book through our website or via talk, and we offer a tasting of all of our wines, most of our wines, I would say, with a cheese pairing from Valley Forge Cheese. And
oh, nice.
We've been doing that for a while.
They do great work.
Yes, yeah. She
Now, Karen listen,
really
Dan,
does.
My voice is okay now, but it won't be for long.
It's the Pinot.
No, it's not the Pinot. It's the tea.
Oh.
It's the tea.
Mike brought me tea, and that always helps.
What's the vintage on the tea?
3 minutes? It was from 3 minutes ago.
It was a good minute.
It is Ragini Naidu. It's Naidu Wines, and it's spelled N-A-I-D-U. NaiduWines.com.
I actually live in the East Bay. I don't live here.
Oh.
Because the home here is primarily for people to come and enjoy.
Oh,
and
cool.
Have the experience. You know, how often do you get to go and stay at a vineyard that's all to yourself with a stunning view and where you're having the wine that's from that vineyard? We want to make sure that many people can enjoy that experience. So we offer that, and then
that
we also
is so cool.
We also have a wine club that is fully closed now, but people can still come to the winery and taste the wines and enjoy some of the fun events that we try to put on once in a while.
And of course, you do weddings, and I'm sure it's a special place to get married.
Yeah, we do smaller weddings.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a 10-acre property with a mostly planted vineyard. It's just one of those places that you have to come see for yourself, because what I saw when I got there changed my life forever. And I've always wanted to share that little piece with everyone. It's truly special, and it's very quintessential Sebastopol. You know, the rolling hills, the beautiful.
I'm looking at some photos.
Candy
it's
floss
gorgeous.
Sunsets.
Yeah.
Turkey vultures, the owls. It's very, very much about that. And people, when they come, they don't want to leave.
One thing that this project provides is a unique look at some red wine. And when I say unique, I really mean that sincerely. In a certain way, this is very, very different. What's happened in California the last 25 years or thereabouts has been that a lot of red wines have moved up in alcohol, up and up and up. And the problem that I have with that is that the more the alcohol goes up, the less the wine really works with food. Now, you can force it to work with food, just have it, consider it to be a beverage. But a great wine is not a beverage. A great wine is a great food companion.
Right.
And these red wines from Naidu are all under 14% alcohol, which is a throwback to a whole different era. And it is so delightful for me personally. It's one of the reasons why Ragni's on the show, is that we have always appreciated wines with structure. And these wines have structure. And this Pinot Noir is not really great to drink all by itself, but what an incredible companion to food it
no,
is
and
it, because of the low alcohol.
I agree. It's an amazing Pinot.
Thank you.
And the finish.
Oh, the finish is remarkable.
I'm starving now. Well, I want food, Dan.
The first thing you need here is something that's compatible with it. Now, a steak would be wrong because steak
is too much.
Is too much. Too much tannin, too much protein, too much fat. What you want here is some delicate, rare roast beef, and then to decant this wine an hour and a half before you drink it, and then pair it with the rare roast beef, it would be a magical experience. And that's unlike so many other. When you get a 15.5% alcohol Pinot Noir, this is 13.6. 15.5% alcohol Pinot Noirs tend to be sweet in the finish, and then the roast beef disappears on you when you've got that kind of alcohol.
That's dessert wine.
That's dessert wine. Then.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. This is wine for food.
Yeah.
Our guest today on California Wine Country is Ragini Naidu from Naidu Wines. It's N-A-I-D-U wines.com. And Ragini, the fact that people can stay in your place, I mean, they're staying in a house.
They are. They're staying in a house that is private for themselves, and it's done up beautifully. It's done up in the way that I would like to, have my friends and family come visit. And this, again, I think goes back to how things were done around me when I was growing up.
It was
all about, the family was all about hospitality and if people were coming over and how. And so I feel like this is such an extension of that. It's an extension of my personal life into a place where I could share this with people.
And you don't see this very often, Dan, in wine country. One guest from 2020 wrote, "This property far exceeded our expectations. The setting is beautiful, and the house has every amenity you could need. Ragini was very quick to respond to all our questions. We enjoyed our stay." And I'm looking at some photos. It's gorgeous.
It truly is.
I mean, I'm looking at some inside the house photos, and of course the outside. It's beautiful, Dan.
One of the reasons that we tend to love being in Sonoma County is its beauty, and it's the aspect of it which is often not seen because we tend to see it from the highway. So locals might be interested in taking a home getaway. Even if you live here, you might want to take a couple of nights and stay out at Naidu, because it makes it seem as if you're really on a distant farm and location.
Yeah.
The wines are spectacular. The hospitality is gorgeous. But I think, importantly, it's unique. You're not going to see this. Like you pointed out, Steve, very few wineries offer this. There are some. Plenty of wineries that do have guest houses, but those guest houses are not open to the public.
Not come and stay in our house.
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
That's amazing.
And for our wine club members, we actually have a few months where they can come and stay for free. So, it's like they're part of our community, So we're slowly building this thing. I think what's been really encouraging is, having the wines in the right placements, sending in our wines for competitions and getting best in class goals, double goals. Those are all, and they're not just things to share with customers, but I think they're also a validation for you in terms of the consistent high quality of your wines.
And one more thing, which I think is important for the local people who are listening. A lot of times we see stories in the newspaper, magazines, that talk about properties that you're unfamiliar with. We see these stories all the time. Here's an opportunity to see a property that really has flown below the radar for several years, but is making spectacular wine, and it's not really out there to be discovered by you. We've already discovered it. We can tell you where it is. Just get onto the website and find out what's happening out there and go visit and either join. I guess you said the wine club is closed now.
Yeah, we're allocated for the wine club, but okay. Definitely come by for a tasting. We offer a really immersive tasting. It lasts about 2.5 hours, where you can come, enjoy the views, sit through all of our wines paired with the cheese, and then we take you through a lovely walk of the vineyard.
And for those of you who are not familiar with the Valley Forge cheeses, that's definitely an experience in itself.
They're amazing.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's about bringing forth the best of what's around me. You know, here I am. I have my space here, and you know, how can I bring people together and showcase the best of what's around me? That's really what this is about. Because when my parents had guests come over, they always wanted to share the best with them and what they had. And so this is sort of an extension of that. I mean, I'm really inspired by that.
Now, you just emptied your glass, so we have to fill it.
Well, that's your job.
Cabernet Franc, sir.
Thank you.
Cabernet Franc for everybody.
Oh, Cabernet Franc. I like Cabernet Franc.
I do too.
I wasn't that familiar with it until you started on the show here. But I like it. What year is it?
22.
Okay.
So this is our second vintage. And it is the fruits from Casada Vineyard in Sonoma Valley. 100% Cab Franc and 100% organic grapes.
That's delicious.
It's delicious, but it's going to be better in 10 years. Mm-hmm. So you just have to wait, Steve.
And so will I.
Here we go. That's Cabernet Franc is an underrated variety. I think it's a wonderful grape. Sometimes it's disavowed by some winemakers because they tend to think that it has too much of an herbaceous component. This one certainly does not at all.
What's the difference between a Cabernet and a Cabernet Franc?
Cabernet Sauvignon is a different grape variety. Cabernet Franc technically is actually the parent of Cabernet Sauvignon.
Yeah. Really?
It's an older variety. It's a cross between Sauvignon Blanc and Cabernet Franc is the cross that made Cabernet Sauvignon. But Cabernet Sauvignon is much more tannic. This has less tannin. It has a little bit more flesh on it, but it's got a little bit more of the personality of the soil. And to me, that is really a charming example. This would be great with a really good medium rare steak, not heavily charred, because if it's charred, you're going to get some of the burnt flavors, and that's going to compete with the beautiful fruit of this Cabernet Franc.
Yeah, I mean, I like to pick varietals that are a little bit like, you know, Grenache Blanc and this, and it's a little bit challenging to execute them in a very, I would say, finessed way, in an elegant way. And I think we did a pretty good job of keeping it elegant, keeping the herbaceousness towards the end.
Right.
You know, so it's still very much a Cab Franc. We're not trying to do something different here, but we're trying to do an elegant, on the palate, Cab Franc.
This has a little bit of the olive oil or olive or green olive component in it that is natural to the variety, but it's mostly generous red cherry fruit, and it's got a little bit of spice character to it. Very, very subtle in the oak area. Aged it very carefully in oak. This wine is, just between us, shouldn't be released this soon. Two more years, it's going to be incredible. It'll be a fabulous wine in 2 more years.
That's why we call him Dan Lay It Down Burger.
I'll just lay down. I'll take a nap with
him. Back to staying at the property. It's just amazing. The property features two living rooms, one overlooking beautiful vineyards and hills with a modern see-through fireplace, whatever turns out, that can be enjoyed in the charming dining room on the other side. It's a fully equipped gourmet kitchen featuring custom cabinets, exquisite countertops, an island, and a sub-zero refrigerator, and an 8-burner Wolf stove, which is the greatest in the world, with dual ovens. It is a dream kitchen. Man, that's
really
just incredible.
I love cooking, and it's a big, that's how I unwind. And I think most people that come visit there, and especially a lot of people that came during the pandemic from all over the country, they could actually come and stay there with their family and not worry about social distancing.
Right.
And they enjoyed cooking up all sorts of meals. I myself stayed there during the pandemic for a few months, and it was just such a blessing for our family. We had, you know, young kids who could run around, and I could cook up some meals and launch my wine business at the same time. So it was a very interesting time.
Very cool.
But I think made much easier by having this beautiful space to be in. And usually it's about, you know, two families that can easily come enjoy themselves. There's a beautiful pool overlooking the vineyard,
yes.
Hot tub, bocce ball court, cabanas.
Wow.
So I would say we are trying to go for the more, like, non-commercial. This is not your, you know, hotel experience. This is not your commercialized experience. This is more make it your own. Come stay in a nice, beautiful setting and be comfortable and enjoy yourself at ease.
And I think the reason the kitchen exists there, besides just because it's compatible with that lifestyle, mm-hmm. is that you really need food when you drink these wines.
Mm-hmm.
These wines really, really call for food. I mean, mm-hmm. they're not big and rich and oily. They don't have the high alcohols. Even the Cabernet Franc is only 14.3 alcohol, so it's really balanced and structured. Mm-hmm. Whereas in so many other red wines these days, you're looking at 15.5, 15.7. And those alcohols, to me, are not compatible with food.
But why do you think that is? Why are people going that way?
I'm writing a book on that subject, so...
Okay, all right. That's a good question, then. I asked the right question.
The answer, basically, is that Americans tend to have a sweet tooth.
Uh-huh.
And they want sweeter this and sweeter that. Look, here's part of the book, very small part of the book. When you order a hamburger, what do they bring you? French fries. When they bring you your French fries, what do they bring you? Ketchup. You order the same exact dish in Paris mm-hmm. or in London, and they don't know anything about ketchup. They bring you
aioli.
Yes.
It's
savory. There's no sugar. Mm-hmm.
No.
So the difference.
And that's the way to do it.
That's exactly the way to do it.
I agree completely.
And that's exactly why we eat why we drink so much of our red wine is tends to be sweeter because mm-hmm. the foods we eat tend to be sweeter.
Mm-hmm.
Our hamburgers always have a tomato on it along with ketchup. In Europe, you get a hamburger, you get croque monsieur. A croque monsieur has nothing sweet in it. It's completely savory. That's what they eat over there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean...
Meat pies. Go to London, order a meat pie. Where's the sweetness? There's none.
No,
zero.
No, I know.
Okay.
And I love meat pies.
But I'm a big believer of each to their own. And, you know,
oh, yeah.
This is
of course.
What works here.
Well, that's fine.
But there's something for everybody here in America, right? And that's what makes it.
But the answer to the question is mm-hmm. why do these exist the way they do?
Yeah.
Because Ragni comes from a culture where she respects the savory. And that's a critical determining factor. If you came from, I hate to say, Dubuque or Des Moines, your experience
don't say that.
Is...
My husband studied...
All right.
My husband went to college there.
All right, well, it's fine.
Don't say Dubuque and Des Moines. It's funny you said
but
that.
But he probably ate a lot of of cream corn.
Yes.
And it was so sweet, it was like
so
dessert.
Funny you said that.
Right? Okay?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. You can't have sweet cream corn and Cabernet. It doesn't work unless the Cabernet's sweeter. So that's why I wrote the section on my book that says... We're eating the sweet stuff. We need sweet wine.
When's the book coming out?
We don't know.
You don't know. You're still working on it.
I'm on chapter 7. Give me time to finish it.
Well, how many chapters have you got to go?
11. Altogether 11
chapters. Okay.
I'm close.
So it'll be out next Friday when he's back on the show.
I'm just going to go home right now and finish it.
Work, work, work. Our guest today is Ragni Naidu. It's Naidu Wines, N-A-I-D-U, NaiduWines.com. And you should do Naidu Wines because they're specifically wonderful. Dan, recap it.
You know how it is with me. I'm sort of off the deep end. Because if I don't have a wine that goes with food, then I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
But I have so much to say about this brand because it's so clear that Ragni's has identified a style that really emulates the property that she owns. And this is exactly why you would own... You don't own vineyards unless you want to make an estate bottled wine to begin with. If you're buying fruit from somewhere else, you're at the mercy of someone else. When you're walking the vineyard, you know those vines. Yeah. You've been there. So this is a very important project from a personal standpoint for her.
Yes.
So that means that the brand has to be, from year to year to year, it has to be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
And that's critical. I see it in the wine.
Thank you. Yes, and, you know, I knew that fairly early on that I had something here. This something that, you know, put me apart from others, where I had this beautiful terroir, and not everybody has that. And I wanted to showcase it, and I just, you know, it's been really lovely for these last 5, now 6 years. Gosh, like, time has flown by so fast. But to be able to bring out these wines year over year, to create a community around this wine, and to meet some wonderful people on this wine journey, you know, here and across the country. I travel a lot, you know, spreading the good word about our wines, and the feedback's been amazing. And this is, you know, I wouldn't work this hard for anything else. So I feel very lucky that I have the opportunity to put something that I truly admire, put my name on it, and be involved with it from start to finish.
Understand completely. And the fact that you can stay at the home there, check it out, because you'll flip out when you see these photos.
You alluded to the fact that two families can stay there.
Yes.
You have more than one bedroom there.
It's four bedrooms.
Okay. Yeah, four bedrooms.
Good.
Large bedrooms and two living rooms. And but I would also really encourage people to come for the tasting. You know, we're open from Wednesdays to Sundays. And we're there at your service to provide you with a really nice experience. So if you're, I think, looking to check out something new, something a little bit different, but something very beautiful, then definitely come check us out at Naidu Wines.
And registration preferred?
So we are by appointment on top.
Appointments, yeah.
Or through our website.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Very easy process. We look forward to seeing everyone there.
It's Naidu Wines. It's spelled N-A-I-D-U, NaiduWines.com.